Mr. Burke, quick turnaround for you after working late last night, so thanks for doing this morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
What'd you make of opening night?
Well, I thought the Canucks played a really good road game. I thought they shut down Connor, which is not easy to do. He had a lot of good chances, but they kept him off the score sheet. I thought the goaltending was good. I thought the effort was terrific. And I thought the result was fair. It was the right result.
Brian, what I took away from that game yesterday is, we talk so much this team has to get into playoffs and what they will learn from it. I felt the Vancouver Canucks showed that their desire, and when you're in a playoff battle, if you want to keep on playing, you've got to be the first person to the puck. You've got to be that much quicker. They didn't forget that. Did it not seem to you that their compete level is now at a different level, and is that in part what they succeeded in doing in the summertime?
Yes, I thought last night, you watched the game, right? So you're looking for things to point out, and I pointed out the way the neutral zone and the back checking of the Canucks and the flood and all ending up on one side of the ice, totally baffling Edmonton. I thought they exposed Edmonton's defense with hard work and forechecking. But yeah, they were the hungrier team for sure for me.
It's tough to sit there and put too much stock into just one game for all the teams that played last night. But Nils Höglander, I mean, when you're a rookie and you play more on the ice than the captain of the team, I mean, you're doing something right, I guess, in the eyes of Travis Green, wouldn't you say?
Well, Höglander's an interesting player because, you know, he's a high pick, highly skilled, but you got to look past his height. Like, he's not a small player. He's just a short player. But he's really stocky, really thick, and really talented. And I talked to Travis Green the day before yesterday. I usually talk to the coach or the GM or both the day before we do a game, just get their sense. And he said, I'm just going to throw this kid in the deep end of the pool and see what he can do. He's had such a good camp. There's no reason to think he can't keep doing it. And he said, I'm just going to toss him in the deep end. And he played him on the, you know, high up in the lineup, and the kid rewarded him with a good game. It wasn't just the goal. He played well otherwise, too. He had a couple chances. But he's a dynamic player, and Vancouver seems to come up with a really good rookie every year. So this could be the kid.
Berkey, would they be more impressed when I say they, Travis and Jim Benning? Not that the kid scores a goal and that he understands what to do in the offensive zone, but the rest of his game, is that what management worries about with the rookie?
You know what? I don't think you have to worry about the rest of the game with a Swedish player. These guys are usually defensively responsible right from the get-go. They're conscientious. They prepare right. So, I don't think they're worried about the rest of his game. I mean, it's one game. Pretty small sample size. But what I saw last night was a guy who was positionally sound, reliable defensively, and can chip in offensively. He can play on the power play. That's a pretty impressive resume. Just that short description doesn't describe most rookies.
No, kind of checks the boxes in terms of what you're looking for. You know, Brock Besser just kind of looked like we hadn't seen that dynamic element of him, the way he's finished the last couple of seasons compared to the guy who, in his rookie year, Brian, I mean, he was kind of flirting, at least before he got hurt, in the same sort of area code or at least provinces of Ovechkin and Laine when it came to scoring goals. Remember, he stole the show at the All-Star game, but hadn't seen that sort of vibe from Brock Besser the last couple of years. But last night it was on in full display.
Yeah, I talked about him with Travis. Travis feels he came to camp a little lighter, a little quicker, and what's troubled Brock, me watching him the last couple of years, is that his game has slowed down. And defenses read that, and they converge on him. So the D are closing on him quicker. Forecheckers aren't giving up, or back checkers are not giving up. Coming back, they can catch him. And last night, he appeared to have that little extra step. He looked lighter and faster and quicker. And of course, he's got a lethal shot. So I thought he was really good last night.
What do you change? Are we going to see changes and teams adapt when we have all these back-to-backs? It's funny to think that if the Canucks play well again tonight and they get two in Edmonton, you go, my goodness, like the Oilers are all of a sudden going to feel some heat on them. Do we see adjustments that quick when we have back-to-backs?
Well, if you're Travis, you're not going to change much, in my view. Probably just say, look, more of the same guys. I think if you're Edmonton, obviously the power play wasn't effective. They were number one in the league last year. I think they were 0-for-4 last night. Probably this morning, if they skate at all, probably have a power play meeting and make some adjustments there. But if I'm Travis, just more of the same, guys. If we outwork teams like we did last night, and if we stick to our defensive schemes, take away half the ice, back check hard, first, you know, aggressive forecheck, I would say more of the same. In Edmonton, I'd say, look, guys, we got outwork last night. And that's a sweat issue. And when you lose a game based on a sweat issue, that's an issue. That's a problem.
Do you feel comfortable with the goaltending situation that the Oilers decided to run back with Mika Koskinen and Mike Smith?
The focus would be, look, we need more effort right from puck drop. And again, with the taxi squad, they might shuffle a couple guys in and out. Mm-hmm.
You change goaltenders if you're the Canucks? We've talked 1A, 1B. I think a lot of people thought, okay, we'll give one to Holtby, one to Demko. I mean, you haven't played for 3 months. You played well. You're feeling good. I would put Holtby in again today and tell Demko you're going to have Calgary on Saturday. What would you do as a GM?
Unless they did the rotation in advance. A lot of teams, goaltending coaches I've talked to, well, I don't talk to goaltending coaches, talking to a number of GMs, they've done their schedule in advance. They've said, all right, the first 10 games, here's the rotation. Otherwise, if you're going the old way, which is, hey, you know, Holtby comes in the next morning, how do you feel? I feel good. I can go again. Problem is, because goalies always want to play again, especially if they win. Problem there is that then if you get the schedule disrupted in a short season, you could have a tired goaltender later in the year. So my guess is Ian Clark did a schedule with the goalies, and they're going to be married to that schedule until well into the season where they start maybe changing where one guy's clearly number one.
Brian Burke here on Sportsnet 650, and you look at what's kind of happened earlier in the week with the Canucks losing JT Miller, I guess, indefinitely with COVID protocol and Jordy Benn as well. I guess not all the details are public, and there's been some speculation and some reporting. I guess, is this just something that you kind of have to brace yourself that this is going to happen over the course of the season, or is it a reminder to say to the players, look, guys, smarten up?
Well, I think it's both. I think first off, you're going to have positive tests. So the traveling party is 50, right, or close to it.
Yep.
So you got 26, 27 players. You got 8 coaches, 9 trainers. I mean, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but I remember when I played in the American League and Bob McCammon was our coach, and that was it. There was no assistant coach even. Now even in the American League, you have 2 assistants for sure. So you got, you know, 3-4 assistants, 5 assistants. Your travel party gets up to, you got your social media person, your PR director, your travel guys. So you're up to 47, 48. The max you can travel with is 50. The NFL travels with over 100. And they're having a hell of a time containing COVID. But with 50, you're going to have positive tests. And that's why the league did the schedule with days off in between, so they can compress things up later if they have to. We're going to have to deal with positive tests. So the key here is discipline. The whole traveling party has to be disciplined. So it's got to be and you know, I'm not that old. I don't remember being a player, how much fun it was to go to a bar after a game, and I was single, and went with the guys and have a few beers and get something to eat, and you won that night, and it's fun. Now it's the game ends, get something to eat at the rink, because the teams feed you after the game, go home. And on the road, it's bus, rink, bus, hotel. Bus, rink, bus, hotel. That's the routine until the vaccine is distributed widely, which is going to be some time here. It's going to be June or July before it's widely distributed. So it's going to require great discipline on the part of teams, and not just the players. The players, I think, because they're young and they got money and they have a lifestyle they're used to, that's probably your biggest concern. But the staff has to be just as disciplined. So you're not stopping at McDonald's on the way home after practice and getting something to eat. You're not stopping at a bar and having a pizza and some beer. You're going home.
Was the hockey better than what you expected around the league yesterday, or pretty much what you assumed? Because it was great to watch. intermissions as well, and very exciting. Did you figure that's what we would get after this long layoff?
Yeah, I thought you'd see some sloppy play, which we did. I thought you'd see some goaltender struggle, which we did. A lot of goals were scored. These are things that we talked about pregame. Actually, we all expected some sloppiness and some high scoring. That will be eliminated very quickly. Teams adjust and adapt very quickly once it gets to real games. These guys didn't get any preseason games or exhibition games, so I expected some rust, and I saw it. But I like the intensity right from the get-go. So I think the hockey will catch up here real quick.
That Montreal-Toronto game was a lot of fun as well before puck drop with the Oilers and the Canucks. Josh Anderson looks like he might be a home run addition for Montreal.
Yeah, he's like, we talk about Tom Wilson being the unicorn for the Capitals, a guy that big who skates that well and is that hostile. And that's what Anderson is. Anderson's a mean kid. He's a big hitter. He got Muzzin real with a huge hit in the first period. And then, you know, and Jake Muzzin's not a small man, and he kind of blew him up. So this is a guy that gets around the rink. He has a proper attitude. He's, you know, he's ugly, not physically ugly, but he's an ugly player. And he can affect the game a lot of ways. He can affect the game by taking a big player out of the game with a big hit, crashing the net. Last night he scored twice. But that was a really – and, you know, they paid a high price for him. They traded Max Domi for him, and they paid him a lot of money. But last night he delivered full value, that's for sure.
As did Suzuki. Berkey, you said, you know, you're not so old you don't remember playing the game. And I'm not going to put you in a level the way you played the game if people read your book. You worked hard to be a part of the team, and we're going to be outworked. That's the first thing that makes you a pro. But you see Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, Höglander. Kids are wired differently, aren't they? Are rookies wired differently? Romanoff yesterday, are you kidding me? Like, you're not supposed to be that relaxed in the NHL. Are the young players in this league just built and maybe mentally tougher because of what they've done and how they prepared at a younger age?
Yeah, I don't think they're mentally tougher. I think they're better prepared. Like, we're getting a much better finished product. You go back, and again, I'm showing my age here, go back to what Trevor London was as a rookie, as good as he was. His skill set compared to a Höglander, he'd be way behind in terms of puck handling skills. And Trevor was a really good rookie, obviously, and really good player for us. But we're getting guys now that can play on your first power play. They don't need to be, you know, short-timed. They don't need to be, okay, we'll give him three shifts a period and see what he can do. Junior hockey and college hockey are giving us a much more finished product. So these guys are working with skating coaches since they're 12 or 13, shooting coaches, face-off coaches, stick handling schools. So I remember when I was the GM in Anaheim and I talked to a dad one day, and the junior Kings were practicing at our practice rink in Anaheim. And I saw a dad there, and I went over to him. I said, can I ask you a question? What does it cost your son to play hockey? And he said it was, I think, $35,000 U.S. plus tournaments. So I said, can I see your schedule? So they showed me the schedule. It was like a college hockey schedule. So one, they'd be home one weekend. The next weekend they're in Seattle. Then home. The next weekend they're in Dallas. Like, these are not short flights. L.A. to Dallas is a 2.5-hour flight. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So it cost 30, I think it was 35 with equipment and different things. And he said, then my son goes, they don't practice on Wednesday nights. So he goes to a stick handling school on Wednesday night. So he's on the ice 7 days a week, getting very specific skill instruction. So I don't fully approve of all that. Like I said to him, why don't you do his homework? Just so I know, when does this kid study? And he said they do their homework on the planes. I'm like, yeah, right. They're all watching video games or playing video games on the flight. But I don't approve completely of that. I don't like hockey being a 12-month sport. But the product we're getting now is much more skilled, much more ready to complicated power play schemes. They get that. They understand that. So, yeah, I think the feeder systems to the NHL, Europe, NCAA, CHL, are giving us a much more finished product now than they did back in the day.
John Tortorella was on a Columbus radio station yesterday, Berkey, on 97.1 The Fan in Ohio, and weighed in on the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation. Didn't really pull any punches. I want to play this clip for you and then kind of want to get your reaction to how things kind of go forward here at the Buckeye State. But here's John Tortorella.
Yeah, he wants out, and he spoke to the team, as we do here. He spoke to the team. It's a little bit different than Brett and Bob, where this is a 22-year-old kid. It doesn't happen that often. And, he has been honest with the group, as honest as I wish he was a little bit more honest as far as reasons why. Still haven't really gotten to that, but I think he needs to speak on that. I won't. It's a short leash with me as far as this is concerned. He needs to continue to do the things to help this team win and be as best teammate as he can be, or I'm not sure where it goes. So, it's a situation. It is. It's a situation, and we'll see. We'll go to it day by day.
Do you like Torts being so transparent about a situation when you've got a disgruntled employee that wants out?
Well, you guys know Torts. He worked in that marketplace.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's not capable of doing an interview and not telling the truth from his perspective. It's just not – there's no filter. And so I'd be as a GM. Is that helpful if you're the GM? Probably not. But I wouldn't go down and yell at him either, because that's Torts. You hire Torts, that's what you're going to get. He's going to do a post-game press conference. He's going to say, Perry Sokowski sucked tonight. Brian Burke sucked tonight. Like, he's just not capable of filtering things, and that's why the players love him. And that's the thing. Like, this is like the third or fourth guy now that's asked out of Columbus, and it's disturbing to me because the players that play there love it. Like, you talk to guys that played in Columbus, it's a great place to live, great schools, great housing. Housing's affordable. Practice rinks right in the main rink. I mean, it's a great setup. Guys that play there love it. So I am curious what Pierre-Luc Dubois' reasons are, and I hope this is not a trend.
Yeah, you would hate to see that. Berkey, thank you. Fun to see it all last night. Fun to see you again. Enjoy it, and we'll do this again next week.
Thanks, guys.